Thank you very much, Steve. Yeah, hi, hello, everybody. This is Claus Ehrenbeck speaking from the IR team. Also on behalf of the entire team, I would like to welcome you to our today's conference call on our Q1 financial results. Before we start with the presentations, a brief remark from my side. As always, you can find all the relevant documents for this call on the IR section on our websites. I would like now to hand over to the speakers today. As always, we have Heinrich Hiesinger and Guido Kerkhoff for the presentations. Heinrich, the floor is yours.
Yeah, thank you very much, and a warm welcome to all of you to our Q1 conference call. I think the overall framework for today is really that we have met or exceeded all financial targets which we had given as outlook for Q1. In more details, EBIT adjusted more than doubled on a year-on-year basis, and very positively, all capital goods BAs contributed both on a year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter basis. We saw a significant improvement on Steel Americas, which moved the margin up also on group level. The debt decreased on a quarter-on-quarter basis from 5 billion on year-end to 4.5 billion now, which really moved up or improved our gearing by 64 percentage points to 136% right now from 200% at year-end. We can also report some good progress in a further de-risking within our company as we got nearly all approvals required for the loan swap against the assets of VDM and AST. A transaction, as we said last time, definitely not strategically, but tactical. It will cut all financial links with Outokumpu and will secure value for our company, thyssenkrupp. Furthermore, we have received all regulatory approvals for the sale of Steel USA, a transaction that will bring in cash around about 1.2 billion euro and has, in addition, a valuable long-term slab supply agreement for our steel plant in Brazil. As you have seen on the improvement on our Steel Americas, we continued while the sales process is running on significant operational performance improvement, which was one major driver that the EBITDA break-even point could be reached in Q1. What you can really see in the order intake that our strategy of increasing exposure to our attractive capital good business really is the right approach, and it's really confirmed by the strong top-line improvement. We really could see a growth in new orders up 12% on a year-on-year basis with a book-to-bill ratio of 1.3, and we can report a new record level at Elevator Technology. Also quarter one of prior year in our Industrial Solutions business was already high. We could confirm this high value by a big-ticket submarine order at Marine Systems. Given this good start in the fiscal year, we reiterate and confirm our expectations for the full year, which should show a significant improvement in earnings and cash flow. Our targets in detail. For us, it's obvious that we are still working in Q1 and, according to our assessment, also going forward in a highly competitive business environment. If we want to achieve our cash and profit targets, our IMPACT program remains the major lever. We are targeting 850 million cost reductions in the full business year, and given the savings of around 200 million in Q1, we are well on track to achieve these targets. Most important is that these savings can be visible in or can be seen in our earnings and our cash flow performance. We clearly had a good start here. Our EBIT adjusted is up on a year-on-year basis by 130%, and if we make it comparable, excluding divestments and foreign exchange account, we are even up by 150%. We have positive contribution from five BAs, and also Steel Americas made a tremendous improvement and reached EBITDA breakeven. Our free cash flow before positive effects from divestments came out at -85 million. This is well ahead of the prior year quarter, and also, and here we need to be very open, some 300 million better than originally expected and guided. This was really a result of earlier than expected customer prepayments. and it will be a challenge then for Q2. On top of that, the successful 10% capital increase, which we executed in December, brought our net debt down to $4.5 billion. And we consider the successful placement of the capital increase as a strong signal that the market players believe in our long-term strategy and trust that we have the execution capabilities to transform thyssenkrupp into a diversified industrial. Let's come to the order intake. As I said, what we have seen in Q1 and we believe will remain for the entire business year is quite a challenging market environment, which continues with intense price pressure and competition, particularly in our material business. So our capital goods business was once again driving the order growth. Overall, group orders came to $10.7 billion, which is up 18% on a quarter-on-quarter basis, up 6% on a year-on-year basis. If we make it comparable, then we are up 10% on a year-on-year basis. Components technology was seasonally slightly down on a quarter-on-quarter basis, but, and this is a very good signal, up 12% on a year-on-year basis if we make it comparable. And this is really driven by some first signs of recovery in the European auto industry, and we also see some recovery on the Chinese wind energy components. Our elevator technology could really lift up orders to a new record level. On a comparable basis, orders are up on a year-on-year basis by 16%, and we could really take advantage of strong new installation business in U.S., in Russia, and especially in China, and we could also see an ongoing growth in our maintenance business. At our industrial solution business, orders on a comparable basis were up by 18% compared to prior year. And this is really significantly above the already high prior level, and here we could really benefit from a big ticket order at Marine Systems related to two submarines for the Singaporean Navy. We also see a continuous good momentum for our cement plants, very much driven by the infrastructure growth in Asia. As other players on the market, we see some weaker environment in new installation business in mining, but we cushion this with some projects on our material handling systems and a growing service and maintenance business. And overall, the order backlog in our industrial solution business reached a value of $15.5 billion. At our material businesses, we saw a relatively robust volume development, but again, this was accompanied by fierce price competition. And nevertheless, in such an environment, if you look on the overall order, our material service business was up on a year-on-year basis by 6%, and Steel Europe up by 1% on a year-on-year basis. Orders at Steel Americas showed a very positive price mix and volume effect as we have overcome the delivery constraints, which were a consequence of the interruption of blast furnace number two last business years. So on a quarter-on-quarter basis, orders were up by 24%. And the very good story is that we have already 20% of those orders from external slab customers. Even more important than volume is the contribution to the EBIT. And also here it pays off that we have a very strong focus on our capital goods business because they did really support the group earnings in addition to the improvement in Steel America. Overall, as mentioned before, EBIT adjusted came out at 247, reflecting significantly reduced losses at Steel Americas and a year-on-year improvement in all our capital goods business. In components technology, both EBIT and margin could improve. This was really supported by the restructuring and efficiency measures, let's say, implemented a year ago. In our elevator business, on a year-on-year basis, both EBIT and margin improved as efficiency and restructuring efforts gained traction, and there was especially, again, a significant margin improvement in China, a growing market, and in Spain, a very flat market. Industrial solutions, EBIT adjusted, year-on-year up 24% to 173, This is well in line with our full year indication given on the capital market in December. The year-on-year improvement really reflects billing-related higher earnings at Marine Systems, higher contributions from our plant engineering business, and this could really overcompensate the slightly decreased earnings at System Engineering. However, we need to accept the fact that despite the solid EBIT adjusted performance in Q1, our income after tax remains negative. And this is driven by the elimination of the OTK Outokumpu exposure, which led to a negative valuation adjustment, which we highlighted already to you on our year-end closing in November. The negative adjustment accumulated to an amount of 276 million. And as I said, this is related to our shares with OTK, and they are impacting the financial line on continuing operations. This was largely, but not fully, cushioned by provisions that could be released as the commitment resulting from the sale of Inoxum to share negative financial consequences under merger control requirements ceases to apply. The release of the provision shows up as positive special items at the discontinued line. So we well do understand that our P&L is not easy to read and understand for this quarter. So excluding both effects, and the net effect is around about 90 million, so we would have had a positive net income in our first quarter out of automotive business. Very clear for us, after we have achieved the free cash flow turnaround last business years, our target remains unchanged, that we come closer to the net income around break-even. So our Q1 results, as well as our Q2 guidance, which Guido will be highlighting, the Q1 is really well developing with our full year outlook, and that's the reason why we confirm it. So coming back, we said EBIT adjusted for the full year remains unchanged at around 1 billion. We continue to expect that sales in the current fiscal year should grow by a mid-single digit percentage rate. We also expected unchanged the EBIT adjustment improvement to come from growth in our highly profitable capital good business, but most important, from our group-wide efforts to enhance performance by the impact program, which should accumulate in 850 million savings. Elevator Technology in particular will further improve its earnings and margins as a next step towards the 15%. We will also see earnings continue to improve in our industrial solution business, and with a restructuring and some market opportunities given for component technologies, we also expect some upside here. Despite continuing strong competition, we also expect within our material business that they deliver higher efficiency gains, especially through the best-in-class program started in Steel Europe. And we also expect that the operating improvements goes on, and that we will see significant lower losses at Steel Americas. I think this prediction is now much more reliable and trustful after we have these significant improvements in Q1. Also, our guidance in the free cash flow for Q2 will show a significant negative. We confirm our full year outlook that before divestment and settlement payments, we expect free cash flow around break-evens, and as one lever to do so, we will control CapEx and will limit it to a maximum level of 1.3 billion. With that, I would like to hand over to Guido.
So I will come then to more details on the business areas and the breakdown. We delivered on our targets in Q1. EBIT adjusted at 247, more than doubled versus prior year quarter. And all business areas but Steel America generated positive contributions, while Steel America's the losses were reduced by more than 100 million to an EBITDA break-even. And all capital goods business areas and group could improve margins year-on-year as well as quarter-on-quarter. Coming to our materials-related businesses, material services could keep earnings contributions close to prior year level in a materials environment characterized by fierce price competition. This reflects their strict cost management as well as effective sales initiatives, with shipments ex stock year-on-year up by 9%, to more than 1.3 million tons. Quarter-on-quarter lower EBIT adjusted is explained by the negative price-cost squeeze, as well as, in particular, by seasonally lower volumes, quarter-on-quarter down 8%. At Steel Europe, EBIT was broadly in line with prior year contributions, in particular, when also adjusted for the Taylor Blanks divestment, we still had in our figures last year. Quarter-on-quarter, similar to material services, lower EBIT contributions mainly explained by lower shipments, 9%, are quarter-on-quarter, and average selling prices largely stable, down 2%. Steel Americas, as mentioned, we could reduce losses year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter by more than $100 million, where we have seen operational improvements as well as positive volume and forex effects and stronger U.S. prices, which brought Steel Americas to EBITDA break-even. Quarter-on-quarter equity increased by $755 million to now $3.3 billion. This is mainly explained by a capital increase, the 10% capital increase executed on December 3rd, bringing the equity ratio now up to 9.2% and the gearing down to 136%. Other factors influencing the equity had a net effect of minus 124, including the net loss reflecting, as mentioned, the negative one-offs we couldn't release already in last year figures. We would have liked to, but we couldn't, and negative forex effects, which was the biggest part of the negative equity change. Very clear, as mentioned, we're having achieved the free cash flow turnaround in 2012-13. The target for the fiscal 13-14 remains unchanged to improve net income towards break-even, and we were not far away this quarter. Without the article, we would have made it. The gearing will further benefit from the cash-in at the closing of the sale as Steel USA, which will bring us a step closer to our gearing target of to achieve below 100%. Year-on-year business cash flow and free cash flow improved in Q1 by roughly $200 million based on higher earnings and temporarily lower capex, and came in overall better than expected and guided, reflecting early customer prepayments, and prepayments in particular at Industrial Solutions that were originally expected for Q2, and this was an effect of around $300 million, and I will come to that. This is a number that will be missing in Q2, so therefore the free cash flow development looks very good. It was strong, but it was in line operationally with our expectations and guidance. And the $300 million is indeed a shift between Q1 and Q2, which will be reflected in our Q2 figures. I will come to that when I come to the guidance for Q2. Overall, effects from net working capital were limited. We had significant investments in higher inventories of $600 million, which is reflecting a ramp-up in the USA still. They had to recover on the blast furnace outage last year, so they had to ramp up volumes and slab again. And 80% of that increase of the $600 million were at materials businesses where we saw stronger volumes overall and a normal restocking after our year end. So they were compensated this time by higher accounts payable and lower accounts receivable to be offset. So overall, net working capital was not having a huge effect. Going forward, we will see that we have, with the organic growth overall, a slight increase in our stocks that we have to provide for in line with the business development. Having moved away overall from the disproportionate year-end optimization since end of 2011, the volatility of our net working capital remains limited and reflects the underlying business operations and requirements. Quarter on quarter, working capital was virtually flat. High inventory, as I said, cushioned by early customer payments and prepayments at IS. In Q2, we expect somewhat higher net working capital as the advance payments at IS will be lower. Inventories and sub-suppliers will be paid to a certain degree. Accounts receivable will go up with a higher sales. And we need to prepare for a relining of our blast furnace Schwelgen 2 here in Duisburg. So we have to prepare for that by building up some stocks for the time where it will be offline. In Q2, therefore, our impact program will continue to drive our sequential improvements of our EBIT adjusted. Our better-than-expected free cash flow in Q1, nevertheless, leaves us with the challenges I already mentioned for Q2. Free cash flow before divest and Deutsche Bahn settlement payment is therefore expected to be quarter-on-quarter temporarily more negative, given the $300 million early customer prepayments in Q1 that we had in our plan for Q2. Quarter-on-quarter, we will have 200 million higher interest payments. We usually have in our second quarter the biggest amount of interest payments for the group. And we will have some lower prepayments and milestone payments in Q2, and we have to prepare for the relining of Schwelgen number two blast furnace. So therefore, overall, our guidance is to get a mid-three-digit million negative free cash flow in the second quarter. And even if you will compare H1 prior year to this year, because of these net working capital effects we have, because of the relining and the growth in our underlying sales, we might be a bit worse than previous year figure. Nevertheless, this will not change full year outlook, but just to be prepared, Q2 will be negative there, mid-three-digit million. Full year improvement, therefore, the target will remain to be break even, but it will definitely come out more of the second half of the year, but the target remains unchanged here. Earnings and margins in our capital goods businesses should further improve in Q2 compared to the prior year quarter at CT and at ET, should be stable at Industrial Solutions. Materials, Services, and Steel Europe, we expect quarter-on-quarter higher contributions, reflecting especially higher shipments as well as efficiency gains. At Steel Americas, we expect quarter-on-quarter stable performance, with our steel mill in Brazil already having a well-loaded order book extending well into the financial year, with more than 20% outside orders already, not Alabama. So we're doing good progress here. So overall, we have made important progress in de-risking the group and improving our performance ambition across the entire organization. We have once again delivered on our operational milestones in Q1, and we expect further sequential earnings improvements in Q2. We have once again confirmed our full year targets and expect a further significant improvement to our free cash flow towards break even before divestment and Deutsche Bahn settlement payments. We expect to significantly improve our EBIT, adjusted to around 1 billion, mainly contributing from our 850 million additional efficiency gains. We expect a further significant improvement of our net income towards break even, and we expect the divestment of the Alabama plant to further significantly reduce our net financial debt and gearing. So with all that, we are still away from acceptable and targeted level, but impact is really having an impact to our bottom line. The trend seems to be right, and the roadmap is clear. The minimum requirements and aspiration levels for all our business areas are well defined, and the new leadership teams across all governance and management levels are well aligned and committed. There's still a lot of homework and improvement potential at every BA, but thus, I think we have a clear value upside for thyssenkrupp.
Good. Yeah, Guido, Heinrich, thank you very much for the presentations. So we can now go over to the Q&A sessions, and for that, please, operator, please take over.
Thank you very much. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. You can cancel the request by pressing the hash key. Once again, that's star and one if you'd like to ask a question. The first question we have today comes from the line of Michael Schillaker from Credit Suisse. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. I've got two questions, if I may. The first one on CSA, could you just dig into a little bit more detail? Because I think clearly the Americas as a whole has improved beyond expectations. Obviously, Alabama is a little less relevant given where it's going, but could you talk a little bit more about CSA in terms of what is currency, what is just the general ramp-up and improvement of efficiency, what is market in terms of... And I think you're still guiding this to be break-even EBITDA 2 years out, which probably seems a little bit cautious where you are at the moment. So give us your thought process on that, if you can. Second question, just in terms of obviously, we've got a lot of sort of turmoil in emerging market currencies at the moment, and I think, you know, a lot of people scratching their heads as to what this actually means. Are you picking up in any of the areas where you do have people on the ground, are you picking up any signs that you're seeing actual underlying demand weakness in any of your earlier cycle businesses, potentially, in any of the emerging markets? Thanks very much.
Yeah, Mike, let me start with CSA. What was happening there compared to prior year and previous quarters? We do see indeed operationally improvements. I mean, the last quarter has been on a stable operation, We didn't have any defaults on fuel rate or major setbacks. So overall, our fuel rate is moving in two directions where you see it on other markets, and the PCI rate is more stable and a three-digit figure in both blast furnaces and improving. So we really do see that they are operationally improving. On the other hand, the market was helping, which was clear. I mean, prices went up, and the margin between American or U.S. steel prices and the world market iron ore price was supportive for that one. And we could increase the qualities and the levels we sold in Alabama. And this is something that will help us even if the deal with Alabama will be through. As you know, we will ship to Alabama on a hot-rolled minus basis. So therefore, if the U.S. market will continue to develop nicely, we will get our share for that in CSA with the 2 million tons. So it was not just Forex and some tailwinds. And the Forex was coming down to a level that is more reasonable now. I mean, the Brazilian real against dollar and against euro was developing into regions, which regarding power price parity, it was ridiculous. So it came down. That was helpful. We stay with our guidance that for 14-15, we want to be break-even. We got a good quarter. We were EBITDA break-even with the Americas now. But now let's continue, and hopefully we see some other good quarters coming. But we will continue to work operationally on the asset and then see and take it how it comes.
I think one positive story here, which I would like to add, in a last call, we got a lot of questions. What volume do you need to really keep both blast furnaces into operation? In my statement, we need 3.4 to 3.5 million tons. And today, we have a strong confidence that we have already secured enough orders in local markets, in addition to the 2 million, which we have agreed to consortium, to at least minimum achieve that level. Now, you asked about the underlying demand in some of the emerging markets. We do not see any, consequences of the foreign exchange turmoil, which we have seen in emerging markets. On the contrary, the momentum in China and others are moving up. We see only one market where we see a reduction in customer demand, which is Brazil, both in automotive and infrastructure, but we do not relate this to any financial turmoil. We relate this to, the fact that now the infrastructure boom for the Soccer World Championships comes to an end, naturally, because the championship will run in summer. And secondly, we also see some softening here in automotive. So here also the demand in our automotive component, which we probably relate a little bit to the uncertainty given in Brazil by the fact that we will have elections in the second half of the year. So in our, going forward, all emerging markets on tracks with growth momentum, a kind of, more flattened to weaker situation for Brazil, which we believe will come back next year.
Ed, could you also just touch very quickly on European steel as well? Because obviously Steel Europe is still not performing particularly well, and it feels like there's no real traction in the market. Mittal's tried to put up prices, but it's questionable whether those are sticking at all, maybe a little bit. So can you just give us a sort of brief outlook in terms of what you're seeing? Because I saw this morning you saying that demand is better, but how much better is it?
You know, not significant better. We saw a very slight uptick in the volume in tons. But the pickup was by far not good enough, not at all, to really bring a positive momentum into the pricing. On the contrary, this was the reason why I said that the fierce competition, on the price side in European steel smelter remains a fact. And that's also, one of the reasons, the major reason is that Taylor Blanks is not anymore in, why we could only deliver 19 million EBIT adjusted in our Steel Europe business. So no positive uptick. There's a lot of talks that it might come back. We haven't seen it so far.
Okay, very clear as always. Thanks very much.
Yeah, but we do also not see the negative. You know, we just, unfortunately, we have to move on as it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question we have today comes from the line of Alessandro Abati from JP Morgan. Please ask your question.
Good afternoon, everybody, and well done on the results. Just have a few questions. Just going back to Steel Americas, would it be possible to have a little bit more granularities on the contribution, the improvement of results coming from USD prices, higher utilization rates at Calvert, and efficiency improvement at CSA. Then the second one, if you can give a little bit of breakdown of the 200 million savings across your divisions, and if you also can clarify a bit more what's the contribution from the new plants in component technology has been in Q1 2013-14, or if there was any. I mean, how much do you expect in terms of EBIT contribution for the rest of the year? Thank you.
Thanks, Alessandro. let's come down to a split and break down what we've seen, what was helpful on CSA and USA. Clearly, what we see is that the market and that the spread was increasing between the steel market prices and the iron ore was helping. But the operational figures and the operational performance was the second biggest contributor here, especially coming from Brazil, that the operational cost in producing the slab were reduced. So therefore, this all was supporting the improvement compared to the prior year. It was not just the market. Forex was contributing as a third player, but that was not so important as an improvement compared to the other two. We've seen therefore, as the current ratio and the current price as we're selling between the two is a different one than we will finally have after the Alabama sale, a bit more of this contribution in the U.S. than in CSA, so therefore the split was a bit changed. And always keep in mind, in the U.S., as a disposal group, we do not have any depreciation in these figures. If I come to the 200, where we have a breakdown of the business areas, we do see by the end of the day that the breakdown of the business areas is more or less in line with what we've seen so far. So no big change, widely spread throughout the business area, a smaller portion at material services.
And maybe to give you a kind of an indication about the utilization rate right now, we have around about 70 in USA and around about 80 down there in Brazil.
What about the contribution from the new plant in the component technology?
The contribution of the new plant is not the major driver because, you know, the ramp-up takes pretty long. I think this is the nature of the automotive business. We definitely are now in a position that we delivered the first product out of that, let's say, plant to the our customers. But, you know the process that the release of the SOP takes a while. So we are on plan with our plans. But the contribution, both in volume and also consequently in EBIT margin, is, I think, not significant.
No, it's still below our average margin, so it's still negative. Yeah.
Thank you very much for the answers.
Operator, please.
Thank you very much. The next question we have today comes from the line of Ingo Sachel from Commerzbank. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon. I have three questions. The first one is regarding industrial solutions. Your guidance suggests more or less stable earnings. That sounds pretty straightforward, but it probably isn't. Can you provide a bit more granularity how you see the different business units there in the second half compared to the first half? Especially, can you confirm that earnings in marine systems and mining will be notably lower in the second half than in the first half, and that the other units shall compensate that, or are you seeing a more positive environment for marine and mining in the second half? The second question would be regarding the European Commission decision clearance for you to buy Terni. The EC press release mentioned that you had given certain assurances to develop the asset. Can you comment a bit on the nature of these assurances and whether they in any way limit your ability from a legal perspective to sell or restructure the asset? And lastly, a short question on Elevator. You attributed the 42 million restructuring charges mainly to France. As far as the cornerstones of the French restructuring program are publicly known, I had the impression that the scope of the restructuring in France would be a bit slower, affecting maybe 200 employees or so. So the restructuring charge looks pretty big. Can you comment a bit on what the 42 million are actually for? Whether France was bigger than discussed in the press at the end of last year, or whether you had significant restructuring steps also in other countries than France?
Yeah, let me start on Industrial Solutions, where we have the stable earnings. For marine and for the mining business overall, we're rather flat throughout the year. What we currently do see, slightly increasing. We had some good order intakes in marine, as you saw, so we have a pretty heavy load over there and some efficiency gains we should get out of these factories there as well. So therefore, yeah, slightly positive. AST, we're still in the process. We got the final approval now from the European Commission, so we want to take it over, and we want to see where we can take it. As we announced, we will have it run by our management team from Material Services, as we clearly do see that the major part in this one will be to find the right customer access and get a strong distribution channel, as it will be out of the Outokumpu Group. This will be the first thing we will look into, and we want to do that. Whatever we want to do later on, we will see. It was a tactical move. It was no strategic move, as we clearly said. So therefore, you can be aware that we want to keep our flexibility as good as we can get it, but nothing more we can say to the current status. On elevator?
Yeah, on the elevator business, you mentioned the 42 million restructuring costs. I think little more than 20 are related to France. Others are related to other countries in Europe because I think there's a general situation in Europe that the markets are weak. And I think here our elevator team has a very good track record that they do adjust immediately when they see that the market is weakening.
Okay, very quick follow-up question on the mining-related matter. I saw the pretty good order intake that you had, but regarding the pricing quality, you would also see no deterioration compared to previous order wins in similar markets and magnitudes?
There's a bit of pressure on it, which is clear as the volume is going down overall. Therefore, we want to overcome that by shifting to offer more efficiency to our customers.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
Thank you very much. The next question we have today comes from the line of Bastian Synagowitz from Deutsche Bank. Please ask your question.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. I've got a couple of questions. Firstly, on Steel Americas, I guess clearly your strong improvement here was the main positive in the numbers today. Could you give us any color on how the Steel Americas results would have looked like in the new structure, i.e. if you do not only separate CSA from Alabama, but also basically use the approximation of the higher transfer prices and then slightly lower volumes? I'm sure you did that exercise. And then secondly, on order intake in Industrial Solutions, if we strip out marines, which has been very strong, it seems like the book-to-bill ratio in plant has been again roughly around one, based, however, on a relatively low sales number. I know this is a business where orders can be pretty bulky, so could you please give us a bit of color on the project pipeline and the outlook for orders in the next quarters? Thank you.
Yeah, no, we have not made up the full calculations of how it looks like CSA with the new pricing and how would that look like now. Let us clearly say here that the pricing formula we will have, hot rolled coil minus, will enable us and will give us the opportunity to participate in a good development of the U.S. Market overall so that we can get a fair share of that development for our Brazilian mill with the 2 million tons. So overall, compared to the current pricing, that will be a slight advantage that we will have. But our current reporting, as for Alabama, we don't have depreciation included as it is disposal group, while on the other side in CSA, we have it including the depreciation. It doesn't really make sense to compare all these figures. Let's now first close the deal, and then we will come up with the appropriate figures going forward, and we expect that Brazil will continue to improve the performance. This is at least what we currently do see. On the book-to-bill?
Yeah, let's say you ask specifically for the Industrial Solution business. We do expect definitely an overall growth, but your assessment is right. The major portion of it is really driven by the big ticket order of Marine Systems. What we see on our process technology side on our chemical plants is that we can stay on the high level. You need to consider that last year we had a significant step up with the large fertilizer orders. Clearly, here the momentum is, flattening out, not going down, but flattening. So we want to keep this level. On the mining side, we see a slight reduction on new installations, but here we believe we can cover it or even slightly overcompensate it with a still ongoing dynamic in our cement and service business.
Thank you. Just to follow up briefly again on Steel Americas and working capital here, what was the working capital change? And I imagine there must have been some given the volume ramp up. So if you strip out working capital out of the operating cash flow, how much would that have been?
That was a lower three-digit number, so 100-something.
Which means then on an underlying basis, netting out working capital, your FFO has been almost break-even.
Not too far away from that, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Next question, please. Operator.
Thank you very much. The next question today we have comes from the line of Carsten Reich from UBS. Please ask your question.
Thank you very much. The first one is on elevator. We have seen another restructuring charge, but the margins are still around 11%. You mentioned, Mr. Hiesinger, that you expect a margin improvement. How big could that be, and how quickly could we see it? That's the first one. Second one is on your Impact 2015 program. You mentioned in your interim report it affected your first quarter EBIT by 200 million euros. Can I get a breakdown on the different divisions? Because I just want to figure out where the achievements were. Because if I strip that out of your EBIT, the group achieved only 50 million euros. That it seems to be a little low. The third question I have is on steel inventories in Europe. Because if I look at your production number, it has had a big jump here, and we are now on a production-to-shipment ratio of about 82%, which looks to me very, very low, which looks to me like inventory buildup. And given your statements about the EU steel industry as such, it sounds to me a bit dangerous to having that much inventories on your books. Could you say something about it, and also in related to it, given the big jump of 20% in your production, but if I look at the profitability in Steel Europe, it was pretty much still subdued on the level of last year. Where can we actually see the improvement here from the performance projects you have in place? Thank you very much.
Yeah, let me just start with the elevator. I think the elevator right now, we have a year-on-year improvement of 0.4, and definitely... and this is what they presented in December on our capital market in London, we expect them on a full year basis to add the next lever. So now after they have delivered the 11% for the full last year, we said what we expect from the team is an improvement per year between somewhere 0.5 to 0.8% a year. It depends a little bit on the market environment, but we really see a very positive momentum. And just for background information, just the last 2 days, the team around Andreas Schierenberg, Erchan Kelesh, and Gabriel Sons have collected the entire team on a global elevator, let's say, leadership to really make sure that everybody has understood the details, the content measures to really move it up. On the steel side, you're right, we are building up, but this was already highlighted by Guido. We plan to really realign our last blast furnace somewhere in summer. The detailed timing is still on decision. This is the biggest blast furnace. In order to prepare for that time, we are really producing now on stock, and this is really what you see in our net working capital going forward.
Yeah, and let me come to your question on the 200 impact that you've seen. As you know, we have always clearly said that we expect impact to hit the bottom line by 30 to 50% maximum, because competition is not sleeping, so you have to pass on your efficiency targets to competition. So your calculation that we just did, 47 out of impact, is not so correct. But what you clearly see there as well is that efficiency is what it makes. So we have to move faster than our competition, and we have to catch up to get profitability to good levels, and that's where we're heading for, and what we have done last year and this year, again, successfully. The breakdown of the business areas is like we target. It's for steel around 27% of our impact targets. Steel Americas 13, Material Services 12, Elevator 14, Components 14, and Industrial 15. So it's largely split across all business areas, more or less same size. Steel, double of the portion as it is, double as big. So I think an equal distribution.
Perfect. Just very quickly on Steel Americas, you mentioned here also an inventory buildup. Can you remind me how that will be handled when you hand over the asset to ArcelorMittal Sumitomo?
That has been reflected in the contract. We'll get it back.
Okay. So at the full price. So if steel prices come down, you would also still get the costs.
We have found a regulation with ArcelorMittal, which is a good one to reflect the operational improvement, and both parties were well aware what's happening and how this has to be dealt with. So it's fine. We don't have a risk out of that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question we have today comes to the line of Neil Sembat from Nomura. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon. I've got three questions. Firstly, at Steel Europe, I guess we've seen production pretty strong over the last quarter, or at least up quarter on quarter, and I guess you're no longer shipping slabs from Brazil to Europe. When do we expect to see this reflected, this increased fixed cost dilution, reflected in the average cost per ton? Is that when shipments pick up in the next quarter? And also a related question, or a similar question on Steel Europe in terms of the cost base. You've seen the headcount reduction come down. When can we expect that to impact the P&L as well? A question on material services. I guess if I look year on year, so first quarter versus first quarter, shipments were up year on year, and looking at the pricing environment, it didn't seem to be worse than in 2012. So why was EBIT down year on year? And then final question is on your EBIT bridge for your full year EBIT guidance on slide 8. that stayed the same, I think, since the full year results. And you seem to imply in that bridge that there'll be a roughly 0.1 billion improvement in Steel America's earnings year on year. Now, compared to the Q1 result and the Q2 guidance, that seems pretty conservative. But at the same time, unless the loss at CSA is so large that once Alabama leaves, then the run rate decreases pretty dramatically. And similarly, are you still sticking to that guidance that Steel Europe and Material Services will deliver a higher year-on-year improvement in EBIT than Steel America as well?
Yeah, let me start maybe on the Steel Europe questions. Yes, headcount is going down, and we're doing all the other improvements in our Big Reloaded program, which now over time will hit the P&L. Even if you have the headcount reduction, people will not leave immediately, and you have some payments you have to do till they're really off the books. So that will come over time, but we're targeting more than 500 million of savings here on Steel Europe, which is definitely needed, and they will come over time. We have seen first results in our P&L, and that will continue overall. If we take a look at our shipments, they were up, yes, but the pricing overall and the pressure coming out of the pricing, as we said, is indeed increasing, and we have a lower margin coming out of it. Please take into account that in last year, Taylor Blanks was still included in the mix of the price. This is now to be taken out, which brings it down. So we have lost on our average pricing per ton overall. So therefore, there is pressure coming from the top line, although we have some higher shipments here. And the cost advantages are not really making up for it. For the year end, compared to prior year, we stick to our guidance that while we think that our cost measures should come into place and hopefully pricing will recover a bit as well, that we see with the shipments that we currently have that we achieve a bit of higher results than in the previous year. On Americas, compared to that, yes, we do see an improvement. And we want to continue like we do currently. Nevertheless, remains to be seen. There is always some volatility in the figures, foreign exchange, and how the markets deliver. We have had a good quarter. We want to continue like that. So there is no underlying assumption from our side that big losses would occur in the next quarters to come up there.
You know, it's just what we have learned out of last year. Last year, when we started our guidance, we had the same comment from your side that you considered us to be conservative. than a lot of other companies. They had to reduce their guidance. We stick to it. And it's now, we have Q1, we started very nicely, but if you multiply our EBIT, which we has achieved, the 247, and multiply it by 4, you are just at our guidance. So we rather look, let's say, how the market is coming, so we do not see any specific risk, but we rather want to see, let's go on that track, and if, let's say, Q2, if we have that result, then we will come back to you and say, what is it for the year end?
Okay, thank you. And just a comment on material services, because I think you mentioned Tailored Blanks. Was Tailored Blanks not from Steel Europe?
Tailored Blanks was
Steel Europe. Tailored Blanks was Steel Europe.
Yeah. So in terms of the weaker material services year on year, how is that explained?
Yeah, that comes from the strong price pressure that we do see in that industry still. And we expect it year on year. It was rather flat. It was not that much that we saw a deviation coming out of that compared to the previous year. And we expected for this year to continue more or less on the same level. The environment is not easy.
And you need to compare, also we saw a slight reduction, our performance versus the industry peers.
Okay. So year-on-year material services earnings roughly flattish is the best guess from now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question we have today comes from the line of Jeff Largey from Macquarie. Please ask your question.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon, and congratulations on the progress. My first question is on the free cash flow guidance, and specifically, I guess, looking at the potential Deutsche Bahn settlement. What can you tell us about that in terms of maybe size or timing? Just trying to get a sense of what that means for the free cash flow outlook.
Yeah, you know, I think the figure which was on the market was a settlement around 150 million. Meanwhile, we got the full approval, so we will have the cash out somewhere in February.
Okay, so it should be reflected in this quarter's results.
Yes.
Okay. The second question is just to go back to Steel Americas, and not trying to beat a dead horse here, but I think you mentioned, Guido, that the business was EBITDA positive in the last quarter. EBITDA break-even in the last quarter. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you provide more granularity as to, you know, TK Steel USA versus CSA? Like, was one EBITDA positive and one negative, or were they operating at the same level?
No. The U.S., where EBITDA and EBIT are the same, as we don't have depreciation, they were slightly positive. And CSA was slightly negative.
Okay, and so in the guidance that you provide for the fiscal second quarter outlook, I mean, I guess to try and understand that, I mean, that basically looks at Steel Americas as it is, but if you take away the positive, you know, contribution, EBITDA contribution from TK Steel USA, wouldn't it? I mean, is it still possible to be stable, or are we looking at a sequential decline? And
it still belongs to us, so it will be this month and the previous months, January, February, will definitely always be included, and then it depends on when the closing will happen. And we want to sequentially improve, and if you take a look at our track record over the past year, we have sequentially, with our impact program, always improved our performance quarter by quarter. We want to continue that, so we want to be better than the 247 in the next quarter, and we're pretty positive that we can achieve that.
Okay, I think I understand. That's fair, I guess, for this quarter. I guess I'm trying to think about post-closing, which...
Yeah, I know. But that's what we said, around 1 billion, and let's first get the things done. We're working on our initiatives.
And just further to that point, again, I know it's probably difficult to speak about, but can you give any sense or color on, you know, how things look with VDM and Turney? I mean, you know, again, obviously these aren't necessarily businesses where there was a lot of disclosure before, but they will be coming back into the fold, and just trying to get a sense of how they'll affect the bottom line.
Yeah, but VDM, as you might have seen from the recent Outokumpu announcement, was still positive last year, but not that heavily positive. So they, in the previous years, they were a lot better on the performance, so we have to take a look into that business and see what's going on. We have seen some weakening in the market, so that obviously is reflected in the P&L. So, but it's pretty much a standalone business with not so much synergies to the other businesses and to the stainless sector. So we will have a deeper look into that and move it then from the positive basis where we think we should get it to then. Let us give you an update once we have really taken a look into it. Given all the EU investigation that we're ongoing, we did not have a too deep look into it. So let's first close, and then we'll come with that to you. AST was in a difficult situation. You know, it was loss-making last year, definitely. Now, with the setup that we say, the biggest problem is definitely that it doesn't have a real sales force and sales context. It was always integrated before that in the Inaxum group, now in the Outokumpu group. We have to make it a standalone business and see where we can get the sales to. That's why we put it to material services. They are, from the independent service centers, the biggest stainless steel service center overall, stainless steel seller in Europe. So we do see some upsides there, and we want to see from them that they provide us with a clear plan how they want to place the product from AST across Europe and Turkey probably. And we need to first analyze, discuss with the management, and then get a timeline on how to transfer it before we want to make any statements. You know, what we said in the past was obviously it seemed that they were running at something like a 10 million loss per month last year. So that was what was rather official. So let's see where we can take it once we have it.
Okay. And one final question, moving to Industrial Solutions in particular. Just, I mean, again, this might seem odd to be asking this at this time, given that you've been trying to maintain, you know, very low capex. But you know, given the strength of the order book, are you experiencing any pressure, you know, again from certain product end markets to actually try and increase your capacity there? I mean, again, I'm looking in particular, like you're looking at a submarine being delivered, you know, in 2018 to Singapore. I mean, is there any pressure in certain end markets to try and step up your capabilities?
It's not the step up the capabilities. Our capabilities are there, but clearly the message which we have given to the team, by the nature of the business, which brings a negative net working capital to us, we are happy with the margin performance of the team, but what we did not see for many, many years was really a growth path. And what the team is now doing, because probably we identified as one reason why, let's say, the growth momentum was not as we would expect, that we were very much Europe-focused with our corporate setup. And the team around Mr. Arzbudin, they are now really establishing a regional center, which should bring us first more closer to our customers to fully understand their needs, so being able to offer without sacrificing margins, and secondly, having a continuous presence there, which will be positive and beneficial to our service business. So this is the road going forward. We did not give them, you know, a fixed time so far, because you also understand that it's easy to have volume in, let's say, solution business, but we want to have volume accompanied with stable margins. So we first build up this closeness to the markets first, and with that knowledge, then let's say we also agree what is a fair timing for higher volumes while keeping the margins.
Okay, that's helpful. Appreciate the answers.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question we have today comes from the line of Rokas Brauneiser from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please ask your question.
Yes, hi everybody. Rokas Brauneiser from Kepler Cheuvreux. Yeah, just a few questions left from my side. Maybe starting with CSA, I guess one of the strong points in the performance was that, as you commented, the blast furnace performance had been now quite stable. Can you tell us how the transition will work once the sale is closed for Alabama, and then your shipments to the U.S. will come down from the 700,000 ton level in the Q1 to the 500,000 ton level as agreed? So how quickly will we be able to bridge that gap with the external slab sales? Based on your comments, obviously 200,000 tons per quarter, how quickly can you double that up in order to be rather stable in your crude production? That would be the first question.
Yeah, well, let me answer that. As we have clearly said, we're pretty strong now developing into the sales in the Brazilian market, and we do face currently that some others do have some problems on the blast furnaces as well. So we have a strong order book in there. Indeed, we're working a bit on the logistics to improve that we can really ship more into the country. On the other hand, we sell to CSI, California Steel, 700,000 tons per year as well, which is helpful. And therefore, we think that the gap of the 200,000 compared to what we had in the last quarter can be bridged over time. We're not that negative on volume and capacity load. It's rather currently that we're focusing in the short term that they're not trying to overdo it and continue with a ramp up step by step, not to ramp it up too fast.
Okay, but would you, in order to have a stable operation and a stable output, would you consider building inventory and then off-sell it over time, or would you adjust your
We're not operating that much via inventory, no.
Okay.
With increased production, you will have a bit more, yes, but nothing else.
Okay, then on the breakdown of improvement between North and South, so you had this more than 100 million euro improvement in Steel Americas. Could you give us a better sense? Is it like two-thirds Alabama, one-third CSA in terms of where the improvement was coming from?
Yeah, as we said, it was a bit more in the U.S. currently, reflecting the current pricing scheme that we have as a transfer pricing. We've seen a bit more in the U.S. Than in Brazil.
Okay, so is the two-thirds, one-third a fair assumption?
It's not so easy as that, but it was more in the U.S. than in Brazil.
Okay. Maybe just overall on your capital goods guidance, I guess particularly in respect to industrial solutions and elevator, you talked about a year-over-year improvement. Can you give us a better sense how that would compare this with the first quarter? Is that also up or more flat or downwards quarter-on-quarter?
Yeah, I think we have given a clear guidance for the elevator business, both for Q2 and full year. As I said, we closed an elevator last year at 11%, and we clearly said what you should expect, at least a half a percentage point improvement on a year-on-year basis if the environment is a little better. We might, be a little bit higher. Last year we did 0.7%. On industrial solutions, we rather said we would see an increase in earnings. We did not say that we would see an increase in margin, because the message we have given to our industrial solution teams is defend the margin and, invest a little bit in growth. So here it's earning in absolute terms while defending the margin, because even with that margin, they have, as I said before, negative net working capital. So it's really a value generation for us.
Okay. I guess, Mr. Ising, you were referring now year over year.
Yeah.
And on a quarter-to-quarter basis for the two divisions?
On the quarter-on-quarter basis, we have also given to you Guido on the guidance. So industrial solutions on a quarter-on-quarter basis stable, and elevator also on a quarter-on-quarter basis slight pickup.
Okay. Then maybe just generally the fact now, obviously better than expected Q1 and obviously further improvement in the second quarter, why not increasing the guidance at this stage? Maybe any more light on that? Is this because you would not prefer to do it at the first quarter stage, or are there any certain factors you are not fully aware of, like losses from the stainless businesses, which makes you to maintain the guidance, or less earnings momentum in the second half? Can you comment on that?
First of all, our guidance is given without VDM and AST, because we said we will come back to you if we know that in depth. But we do not see any negative. It's just, a learning curve which we had last year. Our first quarter with the 247 is full in line with our guidance. If you multiply it by 4, you are just there. If we would see an even better momentum in Q2, then we will comment to you. But having only a quarter of the year, even if we do not see additional risk coming, I think it's more substance if we have half year in, and then we come back and said, how do we judge the rest of the year?
And you know how Forex and changes in raw material and end customer prices might affect our business. Therefore, we think current timing, it makes sense to stay with what we said. We had a good quarter, first quarter. Yes, good start. That's it.
You know, the fact that the business model also in Steel Europe has changed from a yearly contract to half-year and quarterly contract just has reduced the visibility in our material business, and they are the highest cyclical, and that's the reason why we are, let's say, we do not see anything negative, but we just know our visibility in material is 6 to months roundabout, and therefore we are cautious.
Okay, excellent. Many thanks.
Thank you very much. The next question we have today comes from the line of Sylvain Brunet from BNP Paribas. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. First question on the Americas again. I know you didn't quantify the split, but if you could help us understand how much have you included in the guidance, in the EBIT guidance for the full year, if an order of magnitude of $200 million for the Americas would be the right number to have in mind. And the second question is to give us some color on the trend in the order intake in elevators in Europe in particular, and to remind us how much it accounts for in your current business. Thank you.
We will not give you more precise guidance on Steel Americas. And the reason is very simple. It's a highly volatile business, especially in Americas. We are very low into the contract business. We are very much on a spot market. Any change, let's say, on $20 for us is around about $25 million. So, as I said, let's stick with our earlier comment. If we have half year in, then we will come back more precise on that one. Now, as far as our European elevator business is concerned, here we do see a slight momentum in a single-digit area in order intake.
Yeah, especially reflecting that in Europe, in Southern Europe, we have seen the trough. On low volumes, it's improving a bit. The rest is broadly flat.
Yeah.
Just lastly, perhaps on pensions, do you expect further adjustments on a quarterly basis, or is that more of an item that should change with the full year numbers?
No, we change for pensions, the interest rate we change on a quarterly basis if needed, but we're already on pretty low levels, so in Germany at 3.5, so that's not very high.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. The next question we have today comes from Alexandra Hohenstein from MainFirst Bank. Please ask your question.
Thank you. Coming back to Steel Europe, and you commented already on steel prices a bit, and I guess mostly related to spot or quarterly prices. What is your outlook for your contract prices, especially from auto clients? Will you be able to keep at least them stable, roughly to last contract, or maybe even slightly lift them, or is that too much to assume? Second question, when should we assume the closing of the Alabama deal and the cash inflow? Is there anything from the approval side missing still? And lastly, we heard from the press that you might have some difficulties and strong resistance in implementing cost reductions in corporate activities. Could you comment here, please, a bit? Thank you.
Let me start with the last one. I think we, so far, with the full transformation of ThyssenKrupp, and we did very tough things selling a quarter of the company, we always had a dispute, but at the end we find a settlement with the unions. Now, we have initiated another significant revamp which covered shared services, and it's obvious that right now, also with the election of the unions lying ahead, you know, we might see some stronger, at least public statements against it. For us, we do not expect that the momentum, in the transformation of our company, ThyssenKrupp, is going down. Now, we have different positions sometimes, and we make it visible, but at the end, so far, we always find a solution. Now, I think for the closing of the Alabama deal, we believe this can be done in Q2. Yeah. And in Steel Europe, you know, I do not like to comment what we believe we can do in the contract business going forward. As we said, it's a fierce market, but, you know, we do not have much room to make any compromise because with only 19 million left in EBIT margin, you can understand that we have a very, that we are very eager to at minimum keep it at that level because we do not want to go into the negative.
Okay, thank you, clearly.
Operator?
Thank you very much. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. The next question we have today comes from Rio Diaz from Espirito Santo. Please ask your question.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. On one question on the elevators division, your peer Schindler reported results this morning as well and shown a sequential deterioration on margins. Apparently, it looks that Schindler is being aggressive on prices in order to increase market share and lever on a top-line growth between 4 to 6%, which is basically in line with your growth targets. However, you are expecting improvement on margins while Schindler is sacrificing them. My question is, and I'm sorry for the long introduction, how confident are you on your midterm target of 15% EBIT margin for the elevators business? I mean, Schindler margins are coming down, KONE margins are stable, but Thyssen, which is performing basically a strategy similar to peers, is seeing margin improvements. What are you doing different from your peers? I mean, it is more than only cost cutting. Can you please give us some color here, maybe some update on what is happening in the marketplace? Thank you.
You know, I think what is, or at least what the team tried to do to show you that independent of growth, there are some fundamental levers in our elevator business which allow us to drive up profitability. We know that today we have potential in our new installation manufacturing. Here we believe there is one of the reasons why we have a gap to where we want to go. That's the reason why we have installed, for example, an executive vice president within our organization, elevator organization, which really optimize with common KPIs all our manufacturing. Secondly, we have still a too high complexity in our product portfolio by the fact that we have grown very much by acquisitions. So this is a tremendous lever. So the team has very clear roadmaps to reduce the number of items in all our element, in escalators, in controllers, in different elevator cabins. And then we still have, as one lever, the performance within regions. Let's say it's some underperforming country. You might have read that, for example, Greece, we did sell to KONE just a week ago because this was for us just subcritical. It did not make sense for us to continue. And this is only to mention three of the levers where we can act, let's say, without looking on the market. Clearly, in addition, we would like to grow, and we are doing very nicely in China and the other things. But let's say, even if growth momentums would go down a little bit, we have, let's say, significant levers to move up margins. And I think that we, our trend is a different one in Schindler. It's not only in Q1. I think we saw it already in Q4 last year.
Okay, very clear. Just one last question on the industrial solutions business. If I understood correctly, the outstanding margin that you had reported this quarter was partially driven by the billing related earnings at the marine system. Correct me if I'm wrong. Can you provide us, if possible, what will be the underlying margin without this effect?
No, our margin is quite homogeneous. I think what I think is very favorable to our margins that in our internal treatment, we calculate a kind of interest rate for the down payment. That's the reason why our solution business is double digit, where most of the market is in a higher single digit. But we have very openly announced the calculation. If we go for benchmark, we naturally take this out. But there's, if you look on the overall performance, the difference between the businesses is not very significant. They are more or less all on the same level.
Okay, by how much would I have to adjust EBIT by those interests from internal loans?
On our capital market day, we have given that it might go up to 5% margin from where we are right now.
Okay, all right, thank you.
Thank you very much. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone keypad. Wait for your name to be announced.
Operator and ladies and gentlemen, if there are no further questions, then I would like to suggest that we close the conference call for today. We thank you very much for your contribution and for your very good questions. And we look very much forward to seeing you on the road and at conferences in the next couple of weeks. Thank you very much. And as always, the IR team is there for you in case you might have any further questions. Have a nice day and a nice weekend. Bye-bye.